عن أبي الدرداء رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أكثر من الصلاة علي يوم الجمعة فإنه يوم مشهود تشهده الملائكة وإن أحدا لن يصلي علي إلا عرضت علي صلواته حتى أفرغ منها. قال قلت وبعد الموت؟ قال إن الله حرم على الأرض أن تأكل أجساد الأنبياء عليهم الصلاة والسلام. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu has reported from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he said that invoke blessings upon me abundantly on Friday, for it is a day in which the angels are present. No one sends blessings upon me except that his blessings are presented to me as soon as he has invoked them. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu asked, O Messenger of Allah, even after your death? The noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, He replied, Verily Allah has forbidden the earth from decomposing the bodies of the prophets upon them peace. Sahabi rahmatullah alayhi has also narrated the addition, The Prophet of Allah is alive and is granted sustenance. The companions asked our Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how will our blessings be presented to you when you will have become decomposed in the grave? The noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allah azza wa jalla has forbidden the earth from decomposing the bodies of the prophets. Peace be upon them. Abu Umama radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Invoke blessings upon me abundantly on Friday, for the blessings of my ummat are presented to me every Friday. Whoever invokes blessings upon me abundantly shall be closest to me on the day of judgment. It is narrated from Sayyidina Abu Musa Abu Masud Ansari radiallahu anhu that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Invoke blessings upon me abundantly on Friday, for when a person invokes blessings upon me on Friday, they are presented to me immediately. It has also been narrated on the authority of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Invoke blessings upon me abundantly on the luminous day, and luminous night and the luminous day, the night and day of Friday. For your blessings are presented to me, and I supplicate and seek forgiveness on your behalf. Likewise, it's been narrated on the authority of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, Hasan al-Basri rahmatullah alayhi, Khalid ibn Ma'dan, and others that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Invoke blessings upon me abundantly on Friday. Sulman ibn Suhaim rahmatullah alayhi says, I saw the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in my dream, and I asked, O Messenger of Allah, are you aware of the people who present themselves before you and greet you? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, Yes, and I replied to them. Ibrahim ibn Shayban rahmatullah alayhi says, After completing Hajj, I traveled to Medina Munawwara and went to the blessed grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I extended the greeting of peace to him, to which I heard the reply, Peace be upon you, wa alayka as-salam, from within the blessed chamber. It is quoted in Bulughul Musarrat that Hafidh ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi says, The increased merit of invoking blessings on Friday is because Friday is the leader of all days, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the leader of all days. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the leader of all the creation. Thus, this day enjoys a relationship with invoking blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that no day other does. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We do Shifshana first, and then we'll continue with the discussion, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salamun ala ibadihi alladhin astafa. Salamun ala al-mursaleen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin wa anzil maqad al-muqarraba indak. Allahumma rabba hadhi da'wati al-qa'imati wa salati al-nafi'ah. Salli ala Muhammadin wa arda anni lidhalla tiskhatu ba'dahu abada. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصلي على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمدا وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما سلمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمد وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء. وأعطه الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته، واجزه عنا ما هو أهله، واجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته، وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل علينا معهم. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك علينا معهم. صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على محمد النبي الأمي. اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما جعلتها على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وصلى الله على النبي الأمي 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 التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات والسلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار التحيات الزاكيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين اللهم اغفر لي واهدني التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله التحيات لله الصلوات لله الزاكيات لله السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله شهدت أن محمد رسول الله التحيات الطيبات والصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمد عبده ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات لله الصلوات الطيبات والسلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله بسم الله والسلام على 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 رسول الله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين So we were talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his daughters, yes? And we finished about our discussion about Sayyida Fatimah al-Zahra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Today, We're going to talk about something which is again related to Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra radiyallahu anha and her husband Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib karamallahu wajhahu. Remind me if I have forgotten, did we discuss the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What happened when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away? Did we discuss this ever before? How was his successor chosen? How was Khalid Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? How did he take the throne? What happened in the final few days of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam leading to his tragic demise? So I think what we'll do is that we'll start this subject, inshallah. Let's hope that we are able to do some justice to it today and next week, inshallah. Let's see if we can. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. So I think I did mention at some point before that the tragic demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam happened on the, what date was it? Does anyone remember? When did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pass away? Now, Rabiul Awwal is true, but do you remember the Gregorian calendar, the date? I think I mentioned it a few times. It was the month of June, yeah? Now is May, isn't it? Next month. It's the month of June. And it was the 8th of June. The day was, everybody knows the day. What day was it? Monday. It was Monday, the 8th of June, that the Prophet ﷺ passed away. Roundabout, they say, the estimate, rough estimate, is that it was in the morning between 10 to 11 a.m. Between 10 to 11, that was the time. Maybe between 9 to 11, you can say. But that is when the Prophet ﷺ passed away. That is when his tragic death took place. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasleeman kathiran kathira. The days leading to this tragic incident, our Hazrat rahmatullah alayhi wrote a book, The Final Moments of the Saints. So in that, Hazrat Rahimahullah, Shaykh Wazir Ismail Yusuf Mutanas of Nawrullah Malqadr, if anyone is not sure what I mean when I say Hadrat. So Shaykh Rahimahullah, he got this book compiled, and in this one, Hazrat Rahimahullah writes, the leader of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is his final few days. Starts with the subject, the start of illness. So I'll just read to you, inshallah, if there's anything that needs to be elaborated. We'll discuss it in the course of it. So he reads, it was Monday, 29th Safar. Subhanallah, this is about 14 days before the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it was Monday, 29th of Safar, and the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was returning from a funeral. The headache began while still traveling, and it soon turned into an acute fever. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu reports that when I touched the towel which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had placed on his blessed head, it emitted heat. So hot was his body that my hand couldn't bear it. I displayed astonishment, to which he responded, no one suffers more than the prophets. Hence their reward is more than anyone else's. During the illness for 11 days, he came to the mosque and led salah himself. For 11 days, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his total illness last was for about, I mentioned earlier, 14 days. So out of 14, for the 11 days, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the masjid himself and led salah. His days of illness totaled 13 or 14. The noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent his last week in the house of Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. She reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recite the following supplication and pass his hands over his body whenever he experienced illness. So this was his, when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became ill, unwell, ever, he would recite this dua. he would blow it on his hand, blessed hands, and rub it all over his body. So you need to learn this dua. If you wish to follow this sunnah, then whenever you become unwell, learn this dua, read it, blow it on your hands, and rub all over your body. This was the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what he did. So Aisha radiallahu anha says, she was aware of this, that he would recite this dua, أَذْهِ بِالْبَأْسَ رَبَّ النَّاسِ وَشْفِي أَنْتَ الشَّافِي لَا شِفَاءَ إِلَّا شِفَاءُكَ اشْفِ شِفَاءً لَا يُغَادِرُ سَقَمَ, which means, remove the suffering, Lord of mankind, and heal me, for you are the healer. There is no healing except your healing, the healing which does not leave any illness behind. She says, so now this time, when I notice that the Prophet ﷺ is suffering from this such acute fever, and he at times he would faint as well. So she says, I recited this supplication during those days, and blew on the Messenger of Allah's hand, hoping to pass them on his blessed body, but he moved away my hands and supplicated, Allahumma ghfirli walhiqni bil rafiq al a'la, which means, O Allah, forgive me and gather me with the exalted companions in the heavens. So he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was not seeking any remedy this time. He didn't want to be cured. He was not praying, making the dua above, أَذْهِبِ الْبَأْسِ, which means, remove the suffering. So he's not making that dua now. Now he's seeking the company of the, he says, gather me with the exalted companions. So Aisha radiallahu anha says, I figured out, I sense that this illness is different. It was a Wednesday, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while sat in a brick or steel tub, had water from seven containers that was drawn from seven wells poured onto his blessed head. This method gave him some comfort, and as he felt better, he illuminated the masjid and addressed. So he came, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, came to the masjid, illuminated the masjid with his presence, and he addressed people and said, "A people was born before you who made the grave of their prophets and the pious places A people was born before you who made the graves of their prophets and the pious places of prostration." So they turned the graves of their prophets and the graves of the pious people places of prostration. They would go and prostrate thereby. Do not do likewise. He also said, "Allah's curse be upon those Jews and Christians who have taken the graves of prophets as places of worship." So do not go and worship the graves of the pious and the prophets. And the Prophet is saying, "Allah's curse be upon such people who do so. Do not make my grave a place of prostration after me, that it is worshipped." Now the Prophet is giving instructions what to do to him when he passes away. The noble Prophet addressed, "Allah's wrath is upon people who have taken graves of prophets as places of worship. Beware, I forbid you from that. I have propagated this to you. O my Lord, bear witness to it. O my Lord, bear witness to it. Do not make my grave, do not come and do sajda to it." He led people in prayer that day, Wednesday, and then ascended the pulpit. Now, this is Wednesday, he ascended the pulpit. That was the last time he sat on the pulpit. After praising Allah, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prayed for the forgiveness of the participants of Uhud, the Battle of Uhud, which happened in the third year after Hijrah. So he prayed for the forgiveness of the participants of Battle of Uhud, and then addressed, "I caution you regarding the helpers, Ansar." So Muhajirun and Ansar, all present Muhajirun, those who migrated from Makkah. Ansar, the residents of Medina, who welcomed the migrants, and mashallah, they were wonderful hosts. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying to people that these people who hosted you a few years back, the locals, the indigenous community of Medina, indigenous people, "I caution you regarding the helpers. They are part of me and have been my support. They have fulfilled their responsibility, and fulfilling their rights is what now remains. Appreciate those who do good from amongst them, and overlook the errors of those who err." Subhanallah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was satisfied with the conduct of the Ansar. And how many people were Ansar? They were not just a handful, they were not just five. So there are people who say bad things about Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they should be warned. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the last time he sat on the pulpit, He did not talk about there on this day. He did not talk about zakah. He did not talk about sawm. He did not talk about hajj. What did he talk about? What did he say? He said, he started with, I caution you regarding the rights of Ansar, people who hosted the muhajirun, the migrants in Medina. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is bearing witness. They fulfilled their responsibilities. They've done what they had to do. Now they have no more responsibility. Now all they have is the right. And the right is that you do not say anything bad to them. Even if they make a mistake, overlook their errors and do not penalize them, do not punish them, do not say anything bad to them. And then he said, O my greatest, Muhajirun, you are increasing in number, whereas the helpers have become such that they will not increase in number than today. Subhanallah. What a prophecy. What did Subhanallah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? That the Muhajirun, how would they increase? Their progeny will increase. Their children will increase. They'll have many children. And they will expand and grow. And the Muhajir and the Ansar, they will shrink. Their number will not grow. Subhanallah, this was a prophecy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so it did happen. So you go to Medina today, you will not find any family from Ansar. Maybe just one. Maybe one. That's when the last time we heard from our Shaykh, said that there's only one family of Ansar in Medina. The world and all that it contains has been presented before a servant of Allah. But he has chosen the hereafter. Now the Prophet ﷺ, having mentioned the rights of Ansar, next thing he said is that a servant of Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal presented the world and everything that he has, it was presented to him, but he chosen the hereafter. He's not interested in dunya. Who is this person? Only Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu understood this statement. And he said, may our parents, our lives, and our wealth be sacrificed for your sake. Having said this, he broke into tears. Only one person understood that when the Prophet ﷺ said, a servant was given a choice, whether he wanted the dunya and everything that he contains, or the company of the sublime, he chose the company of the of sublime, and he chose the company of the of al-mala'ul a'la. So only Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu understood that who Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is referring to. So he said, may our parents, our lives, and our wealth be sacrificed for your sake. This all indicates, you study the seerat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I keep on saying to you, study the seerat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your own time. And whenever Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is mentioned and anything to do with him is, you would come across, you would notice that his character was out with the ordinary. He was an amazing person, every sense, he's amazing. And they say he was atqahum, a'lamuhum, ahfaduhum. You just like you have 99 names of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even more when it comes to sifat of these sahaba radiallahu anhum. I just read the ayat in the first rakat. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Walladhina ma'ahu ashidda'u 'alal kuffar rahma'u baynahum tarahum. Allah azza wa jalla is praising them. Just like he mentions sifat and the attributes, he mentions the sifat of sahaba radiallahu anhum. This is why the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they take sahaba radiallahu anhum as role models. They take sahaba, the uswa of sahaba radiallahu anhum, they treat it very with a lot of care, and they promote the culture that sahaba radiallahu anhum had. So the culture of sahaba radiallahu anhum is the ideal culture. That is the culture that we need to promote, and we need to bring into our lives. He then ordered for all the gates in masjid, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned to him and said, O Abu Bakr, exercise patience. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu started crying, and he said, may our parents and our lives and our wealth be sacrificed for your sake, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam noticed that he's understood it. And now he started crying and he's weeping and he's becoming impatient. Abu Bakr, exercise patience. He then ordered for all the gates in the masjid to be closed except the gate of Abu Bakr. Now this is an interesting statement. This is an interesting one. This is a hadith reported by Imam Bukhari rahimahullah and many of the scholars. And you struggle to understand, what does this mean? All the gates of the masjid are closed except the gate of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And how many gates did the masjid have at that time? So the gate, if you picture an open space, the masjid, and there were houses right next to the masjid on all sides. If I had some pictures of it, if I had, I would be able to show it to you. So the sahaba radiallahu anhu, they lived around the masjid. And people, rather than having to go to the main entrance and come in from there, everybody had a kind of quick access to the masjid. So they had a window or small door or something. They would just jump into the masjid, into the courtyard, and from there they would just come in straight. And the Prophet ﷺ had allowed it. Okay, fine. You can come in. It's okay. The Prophet ﷺ had his own entrance that he would come in from. And now the Prophet ﷺ today says, now all the doors should be shut. The windows should be closed. No one is allowed to have direct access. Come from the main gate, from the main door. The only door that is allowed to remain open is the door and the gate that leads to the house of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. What does this mean? It means that after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Imam will be Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, because he will have this access direct into the masjid, because he's the Imam. He can come in just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to, as he was the leader of the Ummah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So only Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would be allowed to. He's allowed to keep his door, his gate. He'll have direct access because he's the Imam. He'll come from there straight to the masjid and go back. All the other gates and the doors now should be closed. So this is a clear indication that the Prophet ﷺ wanted him to be the Imam and the leader after him. There was an increase in the severity of the noble Prophet ﷺ's illness on Thursday. Now Wednesday he came and he made that address, and thereafter Thursday the illness increased substantially. In that state, he addressed those present, "Come Thursday, the last day of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he led people in salah, because Thursday evening he becomes unwell, and Thursday maghrib was the last prayer he led in the masjid. So Thursday, in that state, he addressed those present, "Come, I'll write something for you, so that you do not go astray after me." Now, after me is a clear indication. I'm going. So I'll write something for you. Come and I'll write something for you, so you do not go astray after me. This is something which some other people, like Shia, they use this reference. This is, look at this incident. And they say, and they interpret it in their own way. And they said, but what happened when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, were all in great distress. They were seeing, just like Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu, the day before, he was distressed. And now other Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in pain. They're all upset and they want him to quickly recover. And they knew at the time that they didn't have a special hospital where they would take their sick. When people became unwell and the illness prolonged and went on, then usually it was time to depart. In fact, it's narrated reported in other ahadith of the tradition that Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu started having this conversation amongst them. Abbas radhiyallahu anhu says to Ali radhiyallahu anhu, "Ali, I'm seeing on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Abbas radhiyallahu anhu is the elder. Okay, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is 63 years of age, and Abbas radhiyallahu anhu is a few years senior. So he's around about 70. He's an elderly person. And he says to Ali radhiyallahu anhu, who's much junior. Ali radhiyallahu anhu was born in, so he's around about 32, 33 at the time. He was born in the year 600. So Ali says to Ali radhiyallahu anhu, Abbas radhiyallahu anhu, "I'm seeing those signs on Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which I noticed on the faces of those who then departed from this dunya. So his time appears to have come. He is not going to be with us for long, so we better go and sort some things out." And Ali radiallahu anhu said, and Abbas radiallahu anhu's indication was that we asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make clear who will be in charge after him, because as Ahl Bayt, usually the tradition was that it would be somebody from their household. So Abbas radiallahu anhu suggested to Ali radiallahu anhu, "We should go discuss this subject and get a clear answer and persuade him somehow that he should appoint one of us as his successor." And Ali radiallahu anhu was not in that mood. He says, "No, yeah, he's his uncle." He says, "No, I'm not going to do that." And then just to calm him down, he says, "Let's say that now you probably have." You feel that people may choose you as their Amir, but if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose someone else, then there'll be no hope. There will be no hope for us. So leave this and let people choose, and let things take their natural course. But anyway, other Sahaba radiallahu anhum were also in great distress. So they want to keep the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They do not want to let him go, and they are in distress. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, "Come, I'll write something for you so that you do not go astray after me," some of them said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in severe pain. And this did not happen in the masjid, by the way. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his blessed chamber. He's lying down and he's in pain. And he says, bring to me a pen and paper. I'll write something for you so you do not go astray after me. Some of them said, the Messenger of Allah is in severe pain. And the Quran is with us and sufficient for us. They got into debate as some people there ordered for writing equipment to be brought to the scene so that something could be written. And others said something different. So some said that this is decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. Some said that it should be written. Others said, why should we trouble the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in extreme agony and in that pain? This is not the Quran. This is something the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants to be recorded for your benefit. They said, Ya Rasulullah, you have trained us, you have educated us, and now this is not time for you. Do not need to worry more. You have trained us well. If they never thought about trouble between themselves. They were more worried that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants to address any trouble that may stem from the munafiqoon, from the hypocrites, because the hypocrites would not spare any chance of hurting the Muslims or creating any kind of any tension between them. So they felt that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was worried about any kind of mischief coming from the munafiqoon. This is what was going through their minds. Nothing. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, in this pain, in this state of extreme pain, do not worry about the munafiqoon. You have given us, you've trained us, we are strong enough. We know how to deal with them. We'll crush any mischief. We'll deal with them. This is the time when, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is the time when you need to rest and when you need to stay in comfort. We remain assured that things will stay as you wanted them to. So I just mentioned, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do when he did the final khutbah, final address in the masjid on Wednesday? He said, close all the doors except which door? Door of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And who did he appoint as his imam after him? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And people did suggest at the time that maybe someone else, even Aisha radiallahu anha, she was very clever, she was very intelligent. She thought that if people see my father where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to stand, they'll hate him. It's a natural thing. It's a natural thing. Somewhere, if your beloved is taken away, someone else takes that seat, you don't really like it. Okay, you don't really like it. I don't want to give you terrible examples, but this is what happens. So Aisha was concerned that people see my father standing where the Prophet ﷺ used to stand, they will have some kind of natural dislike for him. So she said, Ya Rasulullah, my father is too weak. If he stands where you used to stand on your musalla in remembering you, he'll weep and he'll start crying and he won't be able to control himself. And someone else thought that this is the special moment. Whoever if stands here at the Prophet ﷺ's musalla, he will be his successor. So why should I not recommend someone who's my relative? So they said, Ya Rasulullah, why not this other person? And the Prophet ﷺ looked at them and he said, Antunna sawahib Yusuf. You are the women like the women that you said at the time of Yusuf alayhi salam were. They wanted to see Yusuf and they couldn't ask directly for it. So they started accusing Zulaykha, the Imra'atul Aziz, that turawidu fataha an nafsihi qad shaghafaha hubba. Inna la naraha fi dhalalin mubin. And she was, they compelled her to bring Yusuf to the scene so they could see him as well. Falamma sami'at bimakrihinna arsalat ilayhinna wa atadat lahunna muttaka'an wa atat kulla wahidatin minhunna sikkinan wa qalat ikhruj alayhin. Now, because they wanted to see him, so they started accusing Zulaykha, oh, she's bad, she's this slave, she's fallen for a slave, look at her, you know how. And she says, okay, I'll show you who this person is. أُخْرُجْ عَلَيْهِنْ فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَهُ أَكْبَرْنَهُ وَقَطَّعْنَ أَيْدِيَهُنَّ وَقُلْنَ حَاشَ لِلَّهِ مَا هَذَا بَشَرًا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ. He said, he's not a slave. He's not just an ordinary servant. He is an angel. So, in هذا, a noble angel. So anyway, because they wanted to see him and they'd heard about him and they hadn't seen him, so they cooked a plot. And they made Zulaykha forced her to make Yusuf appear before them. So similarly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to these women that were saying these things, you have something else in your heart, and outwardly you're saying something else. Even Aisha radhiyallahu anha, you're just worried that your father may attract the negativity, a negative kind of sent, yani, other people, there's some kind of disapproval from other people. You do not want him there. And the other women, they want their father or their elder to take that seat, and they're saying something else. So what is in your hearts is not on your tongues. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi, Allah azza wa jal was guiding him. Allah azza wa jal was guiding him. He could see through what's going on. So he was very alert, very aware of what was going on. So he wanted to shut any possibility, any mischief, any possibility for anyone, and he was aware of what was happening within his own family. He was aware of it. So he wanted to settle everything and get it recorded. But the Sahaba radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, you are in too much pain. So it's rather leave it to us, we'll take care of it. As the noise and clamor increased, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered everyone to leave. Hazrat rahimahullah here, and this is taken from Qazi Sulman Mansur Puri rahmatullahi alameen. They just mentioned it vaguely. They did not go into much detail. But amongst those who objected to it, the loudest voice was the voice of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. How much time do we have? About 11 minutes. Umar radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, you take rest. We'll sort out the troublemakers. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his normal routine was that when Umar radiallahu anhu said something, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam would accept it. And this had happened during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam many a times. After the battle of Badr, ya dosha,
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله